The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to pick up this insightful story of grace all around 17, but for more clarity, we'll start in verse 14. And so I gotta tell you the story before we start. We have a pastor's wife here today from Asheville, North Carolina. And so I've really been battling. I appreciate your prayers on vertigo. I've been having some vertigo spells, and it's tough. And you never know when it's going to hit. So I'm speaking to her, and she said, you know, I have that problem too, but I have a little blue pill that takes care of it. And it's Mucinex, so it's not anything weird. But okay. Well, I took the Mucinex, and it helped me quite a bit, but I got no sleep. It jacked me up. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. So, if I'm a little zombified up here this morning, you'll know why. Just a little humor this morning. We'll start in verse 14, chapter 5 of Galatians. If you're there, give me an amen. Amen. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even of this. And last week we understood, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. And by the way, that's called a contrasting verses. One you love, the other you devour. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. But that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, partying, and the like. I like that. And the like, which means there's many more, much more. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I've entitled this message, Fleshy Works. Fleshy Works. Now, if you've been with us, you know, we've been trucking through the book of Galatians, written by, of course, the Apostle Paul. And in short, the reason for the letter to the Galatians is found in Galatians 3, 1 and 3. I'll read that for you, just a couple pages over. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. And Paul goes, I just need one thing from you. I just want to know, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? And that's my question to us today. Oh, we all began in the Spirit, did we not? Born again, we all, oh, God, come into me. I just, you know, I have never seen a person, actually, never just walk, stroll up to the altar. God, you're really lucky to get me. I'm here because I'm going to help you out. No, we're usually, you know, wiping the tears from our eyes. What happens? We're born of the Spirit. And then someone comes along, just like in the Galatians' lives. And, of course, Galatia is an area. It's not a town. And the people there, you know, they get saved by the Spirit. They're just loving God. They're loving the Spirit of God. They got saved by the Spirit. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, it's not that simple. And in Paul's day, we have that now, if you know, if you've been around, you know we have those Judaizers or those legalistic people today that tells us, oh, no, that's not enough. Jesus isn't enough. You must do this or that. You must wear holy underwear or read some magazine or whatever. It's just not enough, they say. And back in those days, Paul was experiencing the same kind of garbage because they had Judaizers. These are people that they're Jews and they got saved. They believed Jesus Christ is Christ and the Messiah, but it wasn't enough. Because they were telling the Gentiles and also other Jewish believers that they had to be circumcised to be saved. They had to take care of very carefully the dietary laws of the Jewish rite, which was absolutely garbage and lies. They're putting them under a blanket of legalism. You have to be born again. But you must speak in tongues before you're born again. Ever heard that one? Well, you know, I have a new theology. And I think that you all should adhere to it. You must give me all your money to be born again. Of course, we have that too on TV. And so that was the gist of what was going on. So in verse 17, Paul declares, if you're trying to overcome the flesh in your own energy, you're struggling perpetually, regardless of how many resolutions you make on December 31st or how many slogans you put on your doorpost or your refrigerator. Folks, the fact is that you'll never overcome the pull of the flesh on your own. Never. It's stronger than you are. How do we know this? Well, because my hero and yours, Jesus, the Christ, recorded in Matthew 26 and 41, even though the Spirit may indeed be willing, guess what? The flesh is too weak, of course. Gang, please know this. In reality, whatever your heavyweight fleshly tendency might be, I don't know, I got my own to deal with. It will never be overcome by your own resolve, and check this out, your own religion. Your own religion. So gaining victory over the flesh by keeping the law is futile in our own ability. But, love that word, but. On the other hand, verse 18 tells us if we're led of the Spirit, we're not under the law anymore, theologically or practically. We're free. We're free. Free? What do you mean free? Well, we're free not to do the things that God's spoken to us about. We're free to do the things that God has spoken to us about. And as I said last week, it's individual. Do you know that? It all depends on your maturity with God and where God wants to lead you. For one, going to PG movies might be okay for you. For another, maybe the Spirit has told you, no, it's time to put that behind you. And so it's individual. But we're all free. What do you mean by free, people have asked me. I don't get that. What do you mean free? Aren't we all free? Not free of sin. Folks, I'm a simple man. I really am. Ask my wife. Very simple by her standards. Look, being led by the Spirit plays out like this in my life. We're born again of the Spirit. We have the Spirit living in us. And then we feed the Spirit. We feed the Spirit. We fuel the Spirit by what? The Word of God and by communication, prayer with God. And then what happens? Well, what happens is 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. You are our epistle, Paul says, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not, now here we go, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone like before the law, but on tablets of flesh that is of the heart. There it is. You're born again of the Spirit. You feed the Spirit by the Word of God, by communication with God through prayer. And voila, you have it written on the heart, on your flesh of your heart, man. It's just like, do I do that or don't I do that? Should I do that or should I do that? And the Lord just, you know, some people call it conviction. Some people call it led by the Spirit. It's just the Lord speaks to you and says, hey, you should be doing this, or maybe you shouldn't be doing that. It's okay to do that. And you just, but it needs to be fed by the Word of God, and you need to also, you know, line up with the Word of God. And of course, then also by prayer. Well, verse 19 tells us that we don't have to guess about the works of the flesh because Paul says they're evident. That word there in the original text means out in front of everybody. It's there. It's out in front. It's like the light is shining on it. They're very evident. They are, aren't they? Verse 19 begins with uncleanness. Speaks of impurity. Impurity of thought, of life. Now, our first life lesson, which brings us to our first life lesson. As believers, our thought life is huge. It's huge, especially for us believers. You know, that's a biggie in a believer's life. That's why Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, take every thought captive unto Christ. You ever been driving down the street? Mind your own business. You're just hanging out. You're going somewhere, and all of a sudden, a curse word comes into your mind, or an evil thought of somebody, or just something messed up, not of the Lord. And you go, ah, where'd that come from? Well, Paul again tells us it's those fiery darts that the enemy throws at us. And so our flesh, man, we need to take everything captive to the obedience of Christ. And I believe in our Christian life, you know, we're not out there shooting heroin. And we're not, you know, doing those evil things that the world, you know, even calls evil. But man, our thought life. We need to really, really be careful about our thought life. Because we can murder people with our thought life. Right? We can commit adultery with our thought life. We can do all kinds of evil things with our thought life. Well, 19 continues with lewdness. Lewdness. That sounds weird, doesn't it? What is that? What is lewdness anyway? Well, the King James Version gives us some insight to that word because that version renders the word lasciviousness. Now, when you look at that word, it literally means doing things without a license. It's kind of cool. Kind of neat to know that, isn't it? I didn't know that was one of the works of the flesh, but it is. Question. Ever heard this, especially nowadays? Who needs to have a marriage license if we love each other? Heard that one, right? It's interesting. Have a driver's license? You have a marriage license. I wonder if the government would put a tax, a heavy tax, on people that weren't married, that were living together. What would happen? I wonder what would happen if we were fined, if we were found that we were living together in sin, by the way, without a license, we get fined like we would a driver's license. I wonder how many people would all of a sudden, instantly, get married. Well, interesting enough, some years ago, Christianity, not very long ago, but Christianity Today did a poll in colleges. Now, it's not a scientific poll. However, they asked the question, if you're living with someone intimately, what would be priority in your life? A driver's license or a marriage license? 73% of those polled said, what? Driver's license. And that was several years ago, probably up to 90% now. Well, continuing in verse 20, Paul continues the list with idolatry. Now, although I'm still an athlete, can't you tell? And loves sports in general. You guys know that? All you have to say is Green Bay Packers. I'm involved. I think one of the biggest idols, though, in our culture today is sports. Folks, please now, don't think I'm legalistic about this subject. However, I'm convinced that if we're not careful, we may unaware, actually teach our kids the adultery of athletics, when, especially whenever we say things like this. We're going to blow off church this morning because you have a game. What does that tell your kid? I don't know. In my humble opinion, there's been a tipping of scales of priorities in this arena. I have personally recognized too many believers who don't have time to study the Bible, fellowship with one another, due either to their own athletic pursuits or those of their kids. Now the balance. Here's the balance. Well, I encourage you to keep in shape and to cheer your kids on in athletic events. Gang, doesn't it make sense though? Doesn't it? If you forsake ministry, worship, or the study of God's word to do so, you're guilty of, yes, idolatry. You're putting it in front of God. So let's keep the main thing, hey? In fact, I would encourage you to have kids, and I played, I'll tell you in a minute about this, but I played football and baseball my life. I would encourage, instead of when the coach or the higher-ups come and say, we're going to have a game this Sunday morning at around 11, or Wednesday night, I would encourage you guys to stand up to that kind of stuff. That's why we're at the abortion issue we are now. No one ever stood up for that. You stand up and go, well, wait a minute, especially if your kid's really good. You train your kid and you train them and they're really good and they're the star of the team, and you walk in and say, we're not going to be there Sunday. Huh? Don't schedule them until 1 o'clock. We'll be there. But we just kind of zombie out and follow along. Okay, Wednesday night. Okay, Sunday morning. Okay, we'll have tournaments all weekend from 6 weekends in a row. It's ludicrous. It's lunacy. We should be the one. I remember in my life, baseball and football and basketball. Biggies. Especially baseball. Did you know that the league never started a game until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and never had a game on Wednesday night at all? Why is that? Do you know why that is? Because they believed in church. They believed in the fellowship of the brethren together. They believed when Paul said, don't forsake the assemblies together, as some are so apt to do. They believed in that. But they've allowed the establishment, they've allowed the world to enter in. And now, if you haven't noticed, with pee-wee football, grown men getting into fist fights, it's become an adultery. Fist fights. I don't get it. And so, idolatry. Well, moving on to verse 20. The Greek word translated here in verse 20, sorcery, witchcraft in your King James, is pharmakia. Pharmakia, of course, refers to drugs. Most of you know that. You see, church, I don't know if you know this. I really didn't until about a year or two ago. In Paul's day, there were those involved in sorcery or witchcraft, which would brew potions that were, well, in reality, hallucinogens. Hallucinogens. You get my drift. Acid. Which brings me to this. Hey, church, did you really think taking a trip and never leaving the farm was a new thing? It's not a new thing. Sin is never new. It just comes in different packages. And so it was pretty prevalent back in those days. And so it's no surprise that the drug culture and the world of the occult remained linked together forevermore, even to this day. Take that to the bank. Well, verse 20 continues with hatred, contentions, jealousies, and outbursts of wrath. A few years ago, I read a story. The teenager golfer was killed when he whacked a bench in an outburst of wrath with his club after a bad shot. Well, the broken shaft pierced his pulmonary vein, and as a result, he bled to death. So, no golfing. No, just kidding. That game, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it's a very personal friend of mine, and I've known him for years. And he's the most mild person I've ever seen. Just real kickback. I mean, you couldn't get him. I mean, his wife would say to me, what gets this guy mad or upset? Nothing. Well, I found out what did. Golf. We went golfing. He had a full all clubs. When we got done, they're all up in the pine trees. I said, dude, you need that. Yeah, serial killer golfer. Well, folks, don't lose your temper. It will break your heart, literally, in one way or the other. You know, for the most of us, we can literally feel our blood boil, can't we? I mean, we just feel I know I can. The hair on the back of her neck begins to stand up, or her veins bulge as wrath, quite literally, manifests itself in our flesh and overtakes us. And so when you begin to feel wrath welling up in you, don't smash a club or lash out at someone else. Instead, do this. Step away from the flesh and run away from the flesh. Run away from the confrontation. Take yourself away from that thing. It just may save your life. You don't know. It will definitely save an argument. Especially maybe with your wife or your husband. The next fleshly work is in verse 20. Selfish ambition. I had a hard time looking this up in the original because there's two words. Finally, James Vernon McGee, you guys know him, huh? He comes across with this. It's actually narcissism. Being narcissistic. Makes sense, doesn't it? Selfish ambition. I saw a special presentation by 2020 on TV the other day saying that narcissism is very rampant in the United States today. And so they labeled it a medical disease, a mental disease or disorder. What? What? Can we just call it sin? Can we call it selfish ambition? Can we call it me? That's what it is. They're in love with themselves. The whole article in Time a couple months ago. It spoke about everything, you know, in there that could you be a narcissist? Well, the love of self is rampant today. Now, close related to wrath is dissension or strife. Now, in the original language, it literally means stirring up or being antagonistic. Stirring up or being antagonistic. I find it interesting. In Proverbs 6, God says that there are six things that he really hates. And we need to understand that. Go there, read that. But he says the seventh to him is an abomination. Now look, if I got to do something to upset God, I'll do the things that he hates. But abomination? Whoa, stay away from that one. What is it? What is the abomination he talks about? those, life lesson two, those that sow dissension or discord among the believers. And do you know that's a big part of why church splits? We can't get along. God's kids can't get along with a Holy Spirit living in them, with the God of the universe indwelling them, possessing them, and we can't get along. It's crazy. God says he hates it. Matter of fact, it's an abomination. The next on the list of fleshy works is heresy. Now, why would heresy be a manifestation of the flesh? Answer, because Life Lesson 3 tells us people who propagate heresy do so for one reason only, to glorify their flesh. You ever notice that? They opine with, look what I've discovered. Like the Gnostics, they say, I have been studying the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now I alone, just me, have insight into true Jesus, don't you know? Listen, gang, have you noticed that heresies always arise from someone wanting attention, wanting to build a movement around his or her flesh? They're the big dog, not God, not our Lord Jesus. Don't fall for it. These are nothing more than modern-day Pharisees adding to God's word, or our modern-day Sadducees that, and Gnostics that actually take away from God's word. Look, folks, remember Revelation 22. It should come up on the board. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Ooh, anyone at all want to be plagued today? Anyone? Like a couple plagues? Maybe two or three? No. Okay. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Wow. That's pretty heavy. That's one of the last things that the Word of God says before he closes. So, Mr. Mormon, is there something you want to add? Like the Book of Mormon? If you do, have at it, man. He'll add a bunch of plagues to you. You like plagues? I guess the Mormons love plagues. I don't know. Remember. Well, verse 21 begins with envy, murders, drunkenness, and we all know what those are, and that R word, which means party, that I can't say correctly. Which means, of course, party. Of course, look, we all like to party. I like to party. Matter of fact, my wife's going on a some kind of a thing, and I'm going to party down. Already some of the guys were going to go out and eat ribs. Oops. But we party differently, don't we? We party in the Lord. When we throw down, it's in the Lord, isn't it? Not so much with the world, with the flesh. They party in the flesh. Now notice with me, Paul ends this list with and the like. I love that. Don't you love that? And the like. In other words, throw everything else in there too. Which tells me this list is not exhaustive. Not at all. Paul says here is only a sample of what the flesh is like and what it can do. We don't even have any idea how far the flesh can go. Well, we're beginning to, aren't we, in the world today? Now notice with me, before Paul begins with the fruit of the spirits next week, please be here, he ends this discourse on fleshy works with, I'm telling you again, that those who are involved in heresy, adultery, strife, envy, drunkenness, all the rest, shall not inherit the kingdom. Shall not inherit the kingdom. Wow. Kind of heavy, Paul. Matter of fact, isn't it a little legalistic? Especially seen as you echoed this three other times in the New Testament. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, Ephesians 5 and 5, and Colossians 3 and 6. Now, one might protest, and I can see why. Hey, that's legalistic. No, No, it's not legalistic. It cuts the sheep out from the goats. Because instead, if you are born again by the Spirit, it's revelation, not legalism. You see, gang, our last life lesson says the works of the flesh, this is very important to get this, because I look at this in my own life. The works of the flesh in one's life reveal an absence of an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Let me say that again. Is that so true, by the way? The works of the flesh in one's life reveal an absence of an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Now, I think the more the flesh, the less the relationship, because they cannot coexist. They just can't. I love that. I'm just going to ask my wife to put it on the doorpost or something. Now, as believers, we have to understand biblically, Paul is not speaking to the person who... Please let me have your attention. Paul is not speaking biblically of the person who struggles with these things that we just spoke about or is falling into these things. No, rather he's speaking of the one who perpetually, habitually practices. In the original, that practice means to get good at. To get good, it's like the javelin thrower. He throws it and throws it and throws it and throws it until he hits the middle. That's what, I'm getting good at getting drunk. I'm getting good at womanizing. I'm getting good. Really? Yeah, that's me, man. I'm the playboy of Aberdeen. Congratulations. I'd rather be the sardine queen. But that's what that means. Practice to get good at. In other words, practice, those that practice these things arrogantly, stubbornly, and with no desire to be set free from them, people have a mindset and a heart attitude that says, you know, I don't care what God says. I enjoy it. Or those that might say, once saved, always saved, you know. I'm doing this stuff, like it or not. Those, my friends, Paul says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not. I understand we all fall into stuff. We stumble, we fall many times, sometimes, who knows? But it's that one that practices. You find yourself practicing and liking sin or your flesh, you're in trouble. You need to re-examine your relationship with God. So what is the finality to all this? Just this. Just this. Why is the man or woman who takes Paul's word at face value and prays like this? Bow our heads. Father, forgive us of fleshly works. And help us with that, Lord. And Lord, cause us to be full of your Spirit. Lest we miss out on an abundant life of love, a love affair with you, Lord, on this earth. And then God, of course, eternity with you. So Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.